What is TWS podcast episode? Whatever. Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. And I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Red. We're gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts. How many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
Microphone
2017.
But it is what it is.
But we blame it all on the millennials, so you know. Y'all need to cut
y'all,
the shit
y'all,
out.
Y'all fucking up.
I agree.
Y'all fucking up. Y'all did the ozone.
Let me just say this.
Y'all put Trump in office.
Let me just say this. I feel like I don't belong in this generation, in this time period. I really wish I was born in like the '70s or the '80s maybe, but 2017, no.
I can't get with some of the ideals that people have. This younger generation, like I can't get with it. And
it makes no sense.
Man, I joke about it all the time. I really can't blame millennials for anything. I can't tell you to get up and go get a better job when I know all of the baby boomers still got these jobs on lock, making overages amount of money that they don't want to give up. And so until they vacate it, I know you can't obviously get the job, but at the same time, in the interim, it's like some of y'all thought process, not you in particular, but some of the thought processes have to change. Like, damn.
You seen what I seen in the high school?
What the fuck?
In the hallways of St. Charles?
This goes back to the be the light mantra. Like, I see the fucked upness, but me, part of me, and I like to be in control. I don't like to feel like things are out of my control. So I think if I put the blame on the millennials and say all this stuff is their fault, like I lose control, like, cause I'm waiting on them to change in order for shit to be better for me. But if I say the millennials is fucking up, but it's because I didn't teach them, or I'm not imparting my wisdom, or I'm not involved enough, or I'm not influencing them to make the right decisions, then that gives me a little bit of the power back. That gives me the ability to say, if I work harder at influencing them, if I use a platform like this to try to speak to millennials and get my point across, then maybe I have a chance at making things better. If I put it on them, then I'm powerless.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that. That's what I'm saying. That's why I said I'm not blaming anything on them. Like the economy, all of this, none of it is their fault, because you guys are inheriting the bullshit.
This is true.
Of what the generations prior did,
which is,
however,
savages.
I'm coming into this shit my damn self. You know, I'm listening.
Rich is what they call a tweener.
A tweener. Yeah. What is that?
We haven't figured out what generation he truly belongs to.
I was born on the cusp of, you know, that last year when they're like, "Oh, you're a millennial." I'm born the last year, so that's why it's a revolving thing. Okay.
He's a tweener,
but so that's why I don't.
So you're teetering on that line.
I'm not a millennial, damn it. I voted.
And
he about to pull out the charts again.
And I did. Yeah, okay, so this is the... And I disagree when people say our generation is smarter. I wouldn't say we're smarter. I would say we're more knowledgeable because of technology as well.
This
as
the generation,
access.
The millennials are smart. They're very smart. Right. What they don't have, or what they do have, is a severe lack of wisdom, world knowledge, and understanding, but they're so cocky that they refuse to acknowledge and accept the fact that they may not know something. So that's when they begin to just headlong, you know, balls to the wall, and
their own downfall. Yeah. None of my friends I know listen to their parents. Well, majority of them, I should say.
And it's
that's
always
not a new concept.
But I was about to say, it's always been like that. However, I may have not wanted to listen to my parents and did the opposite. That don't mean I didn't know right from wrong. What the fuck you mean coming out at 11? Fuck you, I'm staying out till 11:30. But that doesn't mean like it's going into your head and you're cashing it, but you're acting out. No. Whereas they're like, oh, yeah, you actually don't know.
It's not even cashed. Yeah.
No. And here's where I differ in my opinion on the millennials. I'm not going to sit here and say that they're smarter.
They were smarter. I said they're smart.
I'm not even gonna say that they're smart.
Keyword.
The problem for the millennials is that information is too easy to come by nowadays. and there's too much of it.
Mm-hmm. Overload.
It's overload. Like I said, I hate the internet because it doesn't matter what your opinion is, you can find evidence to support it. Mm-hmm. So if you believe in some bullshit, you can find some other bullshit to go behind what you believe in and make you feel more further entrenched mm-hmm. in that belief. So now you already came with a stupid premise, but because you found a message board full of other stupid people that, you know, backed you up, now you like you solidified in the stupidity. And you even sound smart when you say it because you got all of this like bullshit information behind it. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to come. It was a little more difficult for us to come across information. So information was one, valued, and then information was two. If I knew something and could speak it, you couldn't necessarily quickly rebut it with some nonsense, you know.
But at the same time, even with that, even when you had to research and do all of that stuff, it forced you to form your own opinion. They don't form their own opinion. It's like people just blindly follow. Oh, Trump said greenhouse is fake. He's right.
So Jay-Z put this video out yesterday, footnotes on 444, like mm-hmm. I was talking about. And in the video, he says how, you know, Beyonce, like, he wasn't ready for love, and Beyonce and him, you know, built this relationship. You know, like, we built this beautiful mansion, you know, that wasn't built on 100% honesty. And he goes on to say so much more about mm-hmm. the relationship and how they decided they had to tear it down and start over again. It's been the hardest thing he's ever had to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's about being committed and not giving up. The headline was, Jay-Z said relationship was built not on 100%.
Exactly.
And if you don't go watch the video, if you don't read any more than the headline, that's what you got. Yeah. Jay-Z admitted that he lied when they start, and then people just run with that. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, and I've fallen prey to it. I've seen something on Facebook and be like, word, and share, you know, and then I actually go back.
When you research and it, it's research actually something like, totally different.
This is complete bullshit.
And it's completely but, taken out of context.
That's what I'm saying. The information moves so fast and it's so readily available that people are under the impression that they're more informed than they are. Mm. They're under the impression that they're smarter than they are. And when you think you're smarter than you really are, then you're not open to listen to what somebody else has to say. Because mm-hmm. you walked in the room thinking you were smarter than me because
yeah.
you read some shit on Facebook, you know? And so that's the problem I think a lot of millennials face, is that they've been bombarded with so much information that they smell themselves now. They believe,
that's what I'm saying. They're so cocky. They believe they know more than they know. That it's to the point where they can't take a step back and see what the truth really is.
And it's very difficult to talk to. Very difficult to break that down. To say you don't know nothing. But we sound like our parents. Because I remember being that kid and listening to my mother and be like, man, you don't know what you're talking about. Right. My mother used to talk, you know, I tell you all the time, I'm becoming a racist because my mother, you know, I'm becoming more and more like
slowly
my mother.
But surely.
Like, I'm learning the stuff that she already knew and was saying to me back then, but I was like, nah, you know, it ain't like that. And I'm saying, yeah, sure, it kind of is like that. You know? But you couldn't tell me that at 19. Right, it's cyclical. Right. Like, this is always going to, there was a problem with Generation X. There's a problem with the millennials. The baby boomers probably faced the same issues mm-hmm. from the generation before. Like, this is all like, everybody's music was noise. Like, this is all just,
it's
all just cyclical. I'm just 35 and looking at the 18-year-olds like you.
I wonder what it would have been like to live like during the baby boomer generation. The fact that I could have went to work and on my salary bought two cars, bought a house, taking care of everybody, 5-6 kids, and been okay.
See, the issue is, Rich, that during the baby boomer time period, you in particular could not have gotten a job. you black bastard.
You're fired. I don't even work here.
You would not be working at no semiconductor company.
I want to know what it was like when gas was like, what, 75 cents? A gallon or something like that.
Bread was a nickel a loaf and shit.
Yeah.
Not how much milk costs? $5 for a gallon of milk? Shit.
Why you need to stop shopping at Whole Foods?
I can't imagine.
No, I Amazon Prime everything now. Prime now.
That's about to be Whole Foods, too.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. shit.
I don't know. Yeah, we live in this microwave microwave popcorn ass nigga. That's from a De La Soul album. But
that just reminded me. Unrelated. One time when I was working at Nike, we ran a food drive. So everybody was bringing in the food. We were doing a clothing drive at the same time. So I'm one of the managers. So I'm condensing the stuff, putting it in the boxes so we can begin to take it over to the charity that we're donating it to. Mm-hmm. And I look in the box, and somebody donated some microwave popcorn. And I was like,
these motherfuckers don't got microwave.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what the fuck? I was like, this is like a take this shit. Here's $5. Go buy a can. Like, God damn it.
Did you
bag of microwave popcorn?
A few weeks later, did you see like a bum on the street with like a trash can fire? Like, just holding that
shit. I was like, this something. That was funny, but at the same time, it was so disrespectful. You're going to give a homeless person a bag of microwave popcorn? Damn.
They could have ripped it open and just ate the kernel. It's like kernel. No nutritional value whatsoever, but you know.
Savage.
It might fill you up. Might crack a few teeth, but you'd be all right.
Man, that was horrible. I had to mention that.
Savage. I don't know, man. 35, though, I feel old. I feel like you're 19. That means I've been alive for 16 years longer. Like, you've only been alive 19 years, and I got 16 extra years. Like, almost I guess. It's a long fucking time.
It's not that bad. Lots of people wish they were 35 again.
Life is long. Life
is Like, long. I can't even say that I'm old. I'm only 33.
Mm-hmm.
But, so one of the things I wish for you, too, is a better life than Jared and I had to live. Because we've both, I know, had to face a lot, like, a lot of adversity. And self-growth and self-teaching. You know what I mean? So that's why I try to talk to my little cousins, friends and stuff as much as possible. Because this is not something that I personally had. You know, someone trying to steer you. Even if you're not going to listen to me. Even if you're not going to listen to Jared. I'd rather put it out there. You take from it what you may.
Yeah.
But it's a lot, like we mentioned before. Especially African-American men have issues with not reaching back and trying to lend a hand and guide their fellow man, because it's looked at as one, a sign of weakness for you to accept the help. And if I make it, it's looked at as, well, I did it on my own, so therefore you could do it on your own. It's that, it's that bullshit ass stigma Deal's where, character. You know, Jared is 35 and I'm 33, and we're both in positions now where, like, we're, you know, trying to take care of our families and have, you know, good jobs, and we're doing what we have to do. Now, imagine if somebody was imparting all of that wisdom and, you know, you were just told you everything right to do, and you were at 22 in the same position. You just cut a decade off of a struggle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't think people think about it like that.
So I say, if I had to give a young person like yourself, Dad, the millennial, advice from 35-year-old me, it'd be like where you are right now, like, you need to appreciate the position that you're in right now. Because at 19, when you walk into a room, people see everything that you could be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? At 35, when I walk into a room, people see everything that I didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when I walk into a room, is this is where you are. Well, why aren't
you here?
When you walk into a room, it's like, this is where you are. I bet you he can get here.
So much potential.
Promising. But that window where people look at you as potential is going to close.
It closes very fast.
Very fast.
Very fast.
Hmm.
So right now, there are doors open to you, not based on what you've done, but based on what people think you can do. And if you can take advantage of those doors and fulfill some of that potential, start to show people the substance behind the potential, that I'm not just potential, I actually am capable and going to do these. I'm doing the things, you know, because that window's going to close. And then all of a sudden, you're going to go from the youngest guy at the job to one of the older guys at the job. And the younger guys are going to be coming in, and people are going to be looking at them like, look at all this potential, and looking at you like, what are we gonna do with this old, you know, with this old dude? Like, you have that going for you, that like, you don't have to be proven yet. Like, you know, like people are looking at you with hope. like people look at you like hope.
It is very sad.
And then like I'm saying, at 35, I don't know when it happened. It happened so fast. That I don't know when it happened. Like, when I apply for a job right now, I have to show you that I've already done it. Like, I can't show you that I have the ability to do it if you give me the chance.
Yeah, you can.
If I can't show you that I've done it and done it well and done it here,
for 6 years, documented.
And supremely documented, nobody wants to give me the chance to do it. Right now, you have the opportunity to have never done it and be able to say, but I think I can. And somebody say, all right, I'll give you a shot. Give you a shot. So you got to take advantage of them shots. Like, take all the shots you can.
It's crazy, yeah. When you get in your 30s, when you like an adult, you believe in yourself, that shit don't count.
I might give a fuck what you believe in.
That shit don't count.
What?
You old hopeful ass nigga.
That's terrible.
Nobody give a fuck what you believe in.
It's sad.
And you don't realize that at 19. Like, you don't see this day coming. Because probably for you, you've been in this space for the last 10, 12 years. Like, maybe since you was in elementary school and people noticed you had an aptitude and you were smart, people have been looking at you like that since you might have been, you know, 9, 10 years old. Like, this kid, kid has potential. This kid can be something. Let's put him in this class. Let's give him this opportunity and see what he can do. Let's see what he can do. And so it feels like that's going to last forever. Like, people are always going to look at you and hear you talk and say, okay, he's a smart guy. Let me give him a shot.
One day the accolades will stop.
It's going to stop. And it's going to cut off so motherfucking fast. That it's like right now, when people look at you that way, you've got to take advantage of it.
It goes from, oh shit, you did that, to, okay, what else you got?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That, like, shit did happen overnight.
Overnight.
God damn.
Overnight. Like, one day you walked in the office and you was the youngest dude there and everybody couldn't wait to give you a chance to try something out to see if you could do it, to you the oldest guy there, and people be like, you haven't fixed that yet?
And what's crazy is the expectation is totally different. When you're the fresh guy and you walk into the office and it's like, I found out how to reboot the computer by myself. Oh shit, you found the button.
Hey.
But then you get 33, 34, 35, and you're like, you know, I rebuilt the entire mainframe, remotely got everything connected to the server. Your computer in your office is running just the way it was before.
All right, I guess we won't fire you.
Do you know what the fuck it took to architect this shit?
That reminds me of the firstborn sibling and then the siblings that come after.
Yeah,
special, and then they come along.
Oh, you, like, can walk. Oh,
yeah.
We've seen that trick before. What you got? Do something new.
That's exactly what it is.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, you can go places now and you can talk a good game and people are gonna you know, bite. People are gonna take it. They're like, hey, man, this kid.
That's how the millennials are getting the jobs.
Right. But you got to be ready to very quickly
learn,
put substance behind those words. Because if that door and window is going to close so fast. If I could give you any advice, it'd be to appreciate this moment and take full advantage of it. Because, you know, I'm 35 and, you know, Lord willing, I at least got what, another 50, 60 years to go. You know what I mean? So I got to, you know, I'm already at that point where that window closed and I got to somehow build the foundation for the next 50, 60 years. With what I got right now. So you're going to be an adult way longer than you ever were a kid. So, you know, 21, 22, 25 is going to happen. And then after 25, you still got another 70 motherfucking years to go. So it's like, if you can't set up that window, if you can't take that window and appreciate it and build it, you know, so that you can enjoy, because now is not the time to enjoy because it's going to go by too fast. You're going to have 70 years to enjoy all the work you put in now. You know what I'm saying? If you try to enjoy this time, right, people be like, man, you're young. You should have fun. I get that. But you have to
temper it.
Yeah, you're going to be young for this.
You have to temper it.
The amount of time that you're young compared to the amount of time that you not young. I ain't going to say old, but not young. They don't compare. So you enjoy this time, and then you suffer for 7. Or you have to make up for that time you enjoyed.
Yeah, because nobody believes in you after 28.
That's the cutoff point.
They don't believe in you no more. You got potential until you maybe like 23. you're a really smart guy. You know, you can be doing you're something. You're
up and comer.
But you're, yeah, until you're about 26, 27. At 28, you know, I don't, you're so smart, you're stupid. I don't know what's going on. You're not taking advantage of your opportunities. Yeah. You hit 33 and it's like, I don't know where you went wrong.
If you look at like those lists, they do those lists like the top 30 under 30 and the top 40 under 40. If you look at how exponentially the amount of success goes up between that top 30 under 30 to in that top 40 under 40, like to be the top 30 under 30, maybe you invented something. Maybe you at the beginning of something that's about to blow up and you the person that established it.
Top 30 under 30, you had an idea.
You had
top
an idea.
Top 40 and top 50.
You would have made.
You're the CEO of fucking Google. You created creation.
Right. And so the top, the top 30 under 30 is these people have potential and they're starting to realize it. Top 40 under 40, these motherfuckers realize their potential.
They like did
that's,
some
that,
shit.
I mean, that's how quickly it flips. That's how quickly it flips. So that's, I mean, I don't want to beat you over the head. I know that's how, like,
that's what I'm saying. We got,
that's how
we
messages
got,
don't
we
get
got
through.
5 years to make TWS Multimedia
something.
Into something.
Into something. Yeah. But if we had started this in 19,
we'd have had the backing because they, people would have believed in us.
People would have been like, oh, these 19-year-olds starting a podcast. Okay.
Radio show? Oh, my gosh.
Hell
so much potential.
Yeah. You 35, like, hey, yo, I just started a podcast. The fuck out of here. Nobody want to listen to you.
That is true.
Talk shit in the radio.
At 19, people listen and retweet it just because.
Yeah.
I got to beg somebody to press play. Yeah. Hmm. Motherfucker.
That's my message for today.
That's crazy.
Appreciate the now. Appreciate the opportunity that you have right now. Because this is a golden opportunity. You have
everything. I hope somebody listening to this episode takes something from this. Cause
you have everything at
it
your
goes,
disposal.
It really goes fast.
It goes fast. And you don't. Nobody tells you this stuff.
I'm taking
nobody
stuff
told
from,
me
yeah.
that. Nobody told me that one day I would go from like that's the, you know, like that's Jared over there. He's a whiskey. Give it to Jared. Jared can do it. To, you know. Now I'm 35, and they'd be like, hey, "What?
And it's a
what
lot
do you
of...
do all day? Why do you? You know, what do you? How many tickets have you closed? I need to see statistics and numbers. You need to
you
show
gotta quantify
me.
Everything.
You got to quant. You got to explain to me why I should pay you next week. Let me know what you're doing. People will pay you right now, just for the hope. You know what I mean, like look at the NBA, right? These cats get these rookie deals off of what we hope you can do. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you all these millions of dollars in hopes that you become something. After that rookie deal is up, if you haven't already done it, you're not going to get that next
deal. You got veterans like Iguodala and shit like, I can't get 15?
Right. I can't get the minimum. I can't get the minimum. Like, you know, that rookie deal is all about potential. That next deal is all about what did you do? What potential have you realized?
Is this almost like happened with RG3?
Yeah. RG3 got a shitload of money.
Just ruining my name.
Yeah. Richard Green III.
Richard Green III.
But RG3 got all that money. You know, he was the pride of DC.
Mm-hmm.
Subway. He was doing Subway commercials. He was doing all of that. And that was based off of what we believed he could be. And then when it didn't happen.
I remember they cut his commercials off. I don't see no Subway commercials anymore.
You don't even hear about RG3 no more.
Yeah, I know. I thought that
Tim Tebow, where are they now?
I thought that was kind of messed up.
They're going to be on Dancing with the Stars next time you look up.
Yeah.
If that knee works.
And that was fast, though. Like, fast. I remember it was just being introduced on the scene.
So that's all I'm saying, you know. I know you have a lot of potential. I'm saying that was dope. If you have ideas and you have things you want to do, now is the time that you can do something with them.
Yeah, you can experiment
without being proven. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
in a couple years, the opportunity to do stuff and you haven't proven you can already do it.
You know what I mean? When you experiment as an adult, you gotta make life decisions.
Right. Yeah.
Like this, like listen. Right.
Do you understand how Tammy looks at me every time another piece of recording equipment comes in this house? Like, nigga, you spending more money on this podcast? This podcast.
Because she doesn't believe in the potential. You have to make some. It has to work. It has to be a foolproof plan, and it has to work. Yeah. You can't have an idea and think that it's gonna be good.
That's funny because you and Tammy know I'm writing a novel.
Yeah.
It's my first book, And
nine out of 10 people will say, you fucking ran a book?
That's what I'm saying.
Let me get your first copy.
Yeah. Shit. Uh-huh. And you're so right. Everybody who I've told I'm writing a book, that's their exact reaction. They're so excited.
Let me say I'm writing a book. Yeah. What the fuck are you going to talk about? what you got to say?
What you got to say that I want to hear? Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. Like, so yeah, you got to take advantage of that. If you see that, don't think it's going to last forever. Don't think it's going to last.
Next time you see those same people, you have to have chapter one done, a business card done, a story, a plot, three more characters, and tell them about the next phase to keep it going. Because once you lose that momentum,
it feels like it's going to last forever. I was in that same boat where people were telling me I was going to be this and I was going to be that and I, blah, blah, blah. Yada, yada. You start to believe it. And you start to feel like it's just going to happen. Like, I don't even have to, you know, it's nothing I have to do as long as I just keep living and smiling and shit. Like, next thing I know, I'm going to be somebody.
Yeah, shit. People told me to keep working out because them ribs going to catch up to you one day. I don't even gain weight. I'm good. You know, I had a fast metabolism. Uh-huh. Now look.
Fucking boom, dog.
Yeah, that shit is overnight.
Man, that's my message to millennials. Is that you've got the greatest opportunity in the world.
Don't squander it.
Don't squander.
Yeah, as the spokesman for millennials on this show, I want to say thank you for the wisdom and the advice. And I'm going to take that and I'm going to run with it.
It's more than Tebow did.
He ran with it. Yeah. He got hit.
And he fell, yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I don't know. What else... Cause at this point, we should might as well just make this like one long episode and then put Rich to work, chop it up, the chopped and screwed edition.
How the fuck did it get 9:17? How much time are we at?
We had 1:27.
Oh yeah, you can probably squeeze in like one more topic and then I'll find a good reference point to do some edits.
Just when we do the second episode, just put a lead in there or something like that. Just something coming.
We might have to hold off the second episode to maybe like Thursday or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this episode won't go out till Thursday, and then you want to wait till the following Thursday for like part two. Put something, you know, whatever in between on that Monday. But yeah, all right, so I know what I wanted to talk to you because we touched on LGBTQ whatever. So not too long ago here in Austin, there was an issue where it was a girl who was identified as a boy and was going through the process of transitioning to be a male, and so she was taking the testosterone, all that stuff. You know, was a boy. I think, you know, you still in the articles and stuff they referred to Max as a he. So then petitioned the high school athletic whatever
department
to wrestle in the tournament as a boy. The governing body decided that, you know, according to their rules, you have to wrestle, you have to participate under the gender that's on your birth certificate. So on the birth certificate, Max was a girl, so therefore Max had to wrestle girls. So now you had a female who's been taking testosterone for some time now, has the muscle mass of a boy approximately her age, dominated.
I'm tossing them around.
Dominated the girls' division, won a championship. I think we had the very same thing. No, not the very same thing. We had the opposite, where there was the boy who identified as a girl and ran track and wanted to run and was awarded the opportunity to run as a girl, and then dominated the track competition, beat the girl who had been, you know, a champion in all the other track meets up until that point, where she had to now face this teenage boy who identified as a girl. So as a, I can call him a former high school athlete, because he used to wrestle. So as a person who's competed in high school athletics, how do you feel about it? Like if one day, not to say you would decide to be a girl, but I think you understand that if you walked into a gym full of girls, there is an unfair advantage.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's completely unfair. On one hand, you can say they need to be involved, too, or they need to participate.
So it's going to be that catch-22.
Yeah, you can't exclude anybody.
Equal rights.
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it is unfair, you know? I mean, like, call a squirrel, you know? Like, I got a boy who identifies as a girl wrestling in the girls' division. What do you think's going to happen? There's no competition there. I mean, you got strong girls, yeah, but at the end of the day, this is a boy.
Still boils down to physiology.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to, he, or now known as she, is going to dominate.
See how difficult it is.
It's hard to keep up. It's hard to keep up.
But like in the case of Max, I think like my argument was testosterone is a PED. It's a performing enhancing drug.
Regardless of what you identify as, you taking drugs, you shouldn't.
Right. In any other situation, a person taking testosterone would be banned from competing because you can't. That's a substance that you can't take. But because it was being administered by a doctor and for the purposes of gender reassignment, they were able to use that loophole to compete. So you had a girl juiced up on testosterone who beat up on a whole bunch of other girls.
Yeah. Even then, I still think it's unfair.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be allowed, at least until the transition is complete. I still don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't know how it works. I don't know how any of it works.
But
yeah.
See, that's not going to be an issue going forward because now they're awarding people the right to
change their birth
edit certificate. Their birth certificates and edit their social security cards and IDs and blah, 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 blah. So,
and then I was telling you how DC just awarded the first gender neutral credentials. So somebody can now get like a license or an ID that does not identify sex or has no sex.
What?
You just... What? I don't know. It's just too confusing. Mm. I blame the millennials again. Mm. Once again, this is y'all's fault. Y'all.
What did we do?
We had boys and girls before y'all came along and didn't know what bathroom to use. And we got
gender-neutral bathrooms, gluten.
I'm sure y'all had people like that. It was just like on the low. They would never say nothing. My father went to a private... all-boys school. He said they found you was gay, you would get beat up in the locker room or the bathroom. And that was the end of it.
We had gay kids in my school. I don't think they ever complained about having I don't think this whole idea of identifying as something. Like, this to me is new. Like, I think homosexuality has always been around. Mm-hmm. And we've always known, you know, members of our family or people we went to school with or whoever who might have been, you know, homosexual. But the idea that you can identify as something different than what,
especially when you were born, they're pushing as the agenda. Like, did you see the video the other day? Did I send you the video? And it was a drag queen reading books at the library to a group of kids, and they were like 4 or 5 years old. And he or she says, you know, who wants to grow up to be a drag queen? Like, any of the boys want to be a girl? So the boys, all they know is that this person is like being fun and friendly and reading a book. So the boys are like, I want to be a drag queen. But they're like 4 years old. They don't know what that is. But you introducing, you know, that subject to them kind of skews their thinking early on and then perpetuates the cycle.
We still need to have a member of the community on the show. I just, there's so much I don't understand. Because I don't know. I just feel like when you grow up without certain options, when certain things aren't even an option, then they don't manifest. I don't remember being a kid and having the ability to choose whether or not I wanted to be a boy or a girl.
Like, there was no choice.
There was no choice. I was just born and I was a boy. And that was it.
You don't like it?
There was no option. There was no like, I don't feel quite right as a boy, so I want to be. It just,
I changed my mind today. It's too much out there.
I'm black. I never got the option to be something other than black. Yeah. Like, nobody ever said I could check another box. Like, they, you know, when Uncle, I got the form,
Uncle Ruckus,
check the box you're supposed to check. But what prevents me now from 35 from saying, you know, I'm a white girl. I'm a Filipino girl.
With an 850 credit score.
With an 850 credit score. I think I should be identified that way.
I mean, that one white guy decided that he doesn't want to be 57 anymore. He wants to be a 6-year-old girl. So,
yeah, I just want
to. Shit happens.
I feel like this is the world that partially, you know, like you have to live in. So, I mean, do you feel do you have any issues with having to figure out, like, what people are? Like, is that, have you developed an ability to live in, like, this definitionless world?
No. I never will. I'm a rebel until the end. I haven't learned how to live in it. I'm just sitting back and watching at this point. But I'm gonna just be straight up with you. I think it is Satan. This is some work of the devil, and it's some bull crap.
Yeah, I struggle with trying to figure out how to explain it all to Elise. Like, how to.
That's a shame. I shouldn't even have to do that.
Whatever you do, do it before the school does it.
Oh, that's what my mom said. Like, yeah, you can't not impart your values, because if you don't, somebody else will.
Little savages. Mm.
She gonna get it from someplace. You can choose if it come from you, or if it come from school or TV or whatever. Or Elmo. I swear to God, yo, if Elmo come on TV right now and tell Elise to kill us in our sleep, we some dead motherfuckers. Elmo has full control over my daughter. Sad. All right, I feel like the energy is done.
I'm drained.
We're going to let Rich go home and recharge his batteries. Got a dentist appointment tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully they don't do too much damage.
Yeah, we don't need anything else to happen to you, Rich, man. We need,
he gone again.
We need you to be all right, man.
I was like, I'm already fucked up. Let me just go get this dentist shit over with.
No more limited Snickers.
But we probably hook up this weekend. You guys going to go to Arena's thing?
Yeah, I think we're going to be there.
I don't know what time, Renee. What are you guys doing on Saturday? Besides that,
I need to try to get some community service. Huh? I need to try to go to Goodwill. So I'm doing well on my probation, but I ain't got no community service hours right now.
Like, what do you have to do for Goodwill? Like, do you have to like actually be there?
Yeah, I gotta put in 48 hours of community service before the end of my probation. And so I guess I gotta show up to one of them and say I'm here to volunteer and do whatever it is they ask me to do.
You're going to be that dude that was following me around with the cart yesterday trying to put everything back.
That probably me.
No, wait, we went 2 days ago to Goodwill.
That's something I had to do. I'm like, hey, yo, Rich, I'm volunteering at Goodwill. Y'all need to stop by and they'll send me to follow. Y'all black, they'll send me to follow y'all. So come to the Goodwill. I can just hang out with y'all all day. Yeah, I got to get my community service, huh?
Dude. All right, well, let me know if y'all do anything, because I forget what time Renee works. If the timing works out, we can probably record something early. We got to record another. I mean, this is going to be two, but still, we can preemptively do something.
We need something for my. And then I think we may be able to work out. I haven't talked to Steven, but maybe things have died down enough to put part two of that episode out.
I was calling it a loss.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was going to happen.
I don't know. I still don't know. I haven't spoken to him since. Drama.
Drama. Drama.
I think I think of some more advice for millennials. Flan says, I don't know, man. 35. What has happened to me in 35 years? Don't be afraid of marriage.
Driving? Anything but driving?
Don't do it while intoxicated. I can tell you that much. I can tell you.
Actually, just do it. Don't wait. You get cheaper insurance, you start driving now.
Most of my friends like to drive fast. I don't know why. I don't know if they're trying to impress other people in the car or what, but I think it was like two kids. Yeah, two kids, I think like their senior year, they got wrapped around this pole and they both got killed.
Do you drive fast? Driving.
No. I don't even drive. But when I do.
I drive fast.
I'm just saying, if you know you're going out, it's too many options. Like with Uber and all this stuff, you're going to have a drink. Just don't get behind it. It's not, there's too much you could do. I think I'm going through it right now. I got the DWI in May.
It's expensive.
I got the DWI in May of last year. So we in more than a year since I committed the offense, and I'm barely like 6 months into my punishment. I still got a long way to go on this probation. But between what I had to pay to get the car out of impound, what I had to pay the lawyer, I pay almost $200 a month, right? You have to pay to be on probation. Dang. Like, that's not free. I have to pay to be on probation. I have to go see this officer once a month. I'm subject to urine tests or whatever they want. I've had a probation officer pop up at the house on the weekend and just give me a breath test, you know, out the blue. The classes I've had to go to, the money I'm going to have to pay to get my license back. It's not worth it. And, you know, you could do a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Things could have went way worse for me. Like, I got to feel blessed that a tire blew out and a police officer stopped me at an intersection. Who knows what would have happened if I kept driving.
So, should have signed the passenger side.
That's... All right. So, if you are going to drink and drive, and you realize somewhere in the middle of your driving experience that this might not be the best idea for you, what you need to do, you need to pull off to the side of the road, you need to remove the keys from the ignition. Now, you can go to the passenger seat, but let's just be safe and go sit in the back. Mm-hmm. Go to sleep. You might still get a public intoxication charge, but that's nothing like a DWI. That's more Flynn says. The more you know.
Okay. What's crazy is I do that. Let me rephrase that.
Go to incriminate yourself on this.
So I don't drink and drive because I'm one of those people who, like, if I know I'm gonna drink, I wanna drink and have a good time, so I don't mix the two. But like, even when I get off of work and I go pick up Renee from work or something like that, I'll just sit in the back.
Yeah.
Because the back is more comfortable. Plus, I just don't want it to seem, you know what I mean? Like, whoa, what's he doing in the front seat? Because you never know what somebody's perception or what their thoughts are going to be. Mm-hmm. So I just sit in the back or on the passenger side just because, read a book, play on the iPad, do whatever. And it's sad, but it's because of the world that we live in. Not because of anything else, but... It is what it is.
They shooting niggas out. All right. Last one. Did anybody hear about the cop in Louisiana who's suing Black Lives Matter? Nope. Saying that, so he was one of the cops that got in Baton Rouge that was a victim of that ambush, that guy that ambushed the police shot. I think he got shot in the head, the chest, and something else. But he survived. But he's now suing Black Lives Matter, saying that they incited the violence and are an organization that, I guess, is behind what happened to him. I think it's a frivolous lawsuit. Black Lives Matter, first of all, is not an organization. So it's a move. It's like, it's no one to sue, mm-hmm. you know. Like, you can't sue an entity. It doesn't exist. It's more of a movement. I think DeRay, whatever his name is, he the one that's named in the lawsuit.
Some people have even gone as far as they call it a terrorist organization.
Yeah. I've had somebody say that to me on the phone. I know they was looking at my Skype picture. You got to be able to see I'm black. Why are you talking to me about Black Lives Matter as a terrorist group? Mm. You must want me to say something.
I bought some new gingham trousers the other day.
That lady came in there, "I like your gingham." The fuck you say to me?
I saw him on the rack. I was like, "Oh shit, I'm gonna tell y'all this joke."
You like my what?
I like gingham now.
Gingham.
Well, man, bitch, I'm married. Don't you ever say nothing about my gingham, man. My gingham is not your worry. Tell my wife you're in here looking at my gingham.
Went to Banana Republic. They got 50% off sale. Got me some gingham trousers for $23.
Nah, if it wasn't 5'4", is what's keeping me. I got some 5/4 jeans on there. My first, what is it? What they call it? Raw denim? Mm-hmm. Yeah, first pair of raw denim.
I like 5/4 jeans. They make nice jeans.
These are pretty nice. It took, you know, I guess it's my first raw denim experience. So I didn't understand the whole, like, break-in.
Oh, you got to break them in.
Break-in period. So the first time I wore them, I felt like they were, like, super tight.
You can't overwash them either.
Yeah, they was, like, trying not to wash them as much as possible. Like, just damp cloth.
Dab the areas.
Dab the area. I'm already, like...
Put them in a bag. Put them in a freezer.
I'm already, like, the super steam iron king. Mm-hmm. So that's, like, I steam clean. I get all the steam up and through there. Steam.
I got a pair of So I love raw denim and selvedge denim. Mm-hmm. The pair I have on, I've had these jeans for 2 years. Washed them the first time last week. I got a pair of nudie jeans that I bought in 2012.
You know what he's talking about?
That
I don't know.
I have a pair of jeans that I bought in 2012 that I still have not washed. But they're 100% selvedge denim. You just can't wash them like that.
Oh, okay.
Nudie denim, man.
Throw them in the freezer, though. They're fresh.
Somebody go in your freezer and be like, got a pair of jeans.
I'm trying to get the ice cream.
Renee used to be like, what the fuck? Because Renee used to come over and used to be like, 4 pair of jeans just folded up in the freezer. What the fuck you got jeans in your freezer for? I'm
frostbite.
Like,
frostbite.
All right, this some white shit right here. So I worked at the White House for a while, right? Uh-huh. And one of the groups that always had problems was the econ group, like the economic dudes, or whatever. Mm. Real smart dudes, but like super, like not lack social skills, mm-hmm. all that kind of like nerds to the extreme. So this one dude was like the director of something, and he always had problems. I would come down there and help him with stuff, and he'd be telling me, I think one time he was seeing like the temp files mm-hmm. when he would open an Excel file. He's like, it's like a file in another dimension. Like, it's like the same file, but in another dimension. He was, like, trying to explain to me, like, string theory and shit just out of nowhere about Excel files. And so I think I helped him with something, and I was out talking to his secretary, and he comes out the office, and he's like, Catherine, what's the best way to get gum out of your pants? And she's like, put them in the freezer, and then once it freezes, you can chip it off. And he's like, oh, okay, thanks. And then we went back to talking, and then, like, 30 seconds later, she hopped up. She's like, Tom, do not take your pants off in the office.
The fact that you have to realize that and catch it, oh, shit. He probably would have.
Probably would have taken his pants off, slammed him in there, and put him in the freezer.
That's what, that is some white shit. Yeah.
All right, so... as usual, people, there's a lot of darkness in this world. Don't be a millennial. Be the light.
Thanks, Jared. Peace.